Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. If, as many modern theologians and academicians say, there is no absolute truth, how can there be false teachers? Those who maintain that absolute truth does not exist or cannot be known are about as illogical and inconsistent as any person can be. When they affirm that there is no absolute truth, they are making a statement of absolute truth, at least from their viewpoint. If what they affirm is not absolute truth, they ought to keep their collective mouth shut. If it is absolute truth, they have contradicted themselves. In my judgment, it makes no sense for anyone to deny the existence of truth. And I seriously doubt that anyone really believes such foolishness. Bible writers such as Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Paul, and Peter vigorously oppose false teachers. Paul writes concerning the false teachers. They are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Philippians 3:18 and 19. The same apostle warned the Colossians, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Colossians 2:8. There is hardly a book in the Bible which does not either implicitly or explicitly warn against following false teachers. Peter's second epistle provides some insight into how the false teachers succeed in leading God's people and others astray. "For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those who were clean escape from them who live in error." 2 Peter 2:18. The expression, "great swelling words," appears only here and in Jude 16. The term refers to the mighty boasts which false teachers make. They make claims of miracles of healing, which will not stand up under careful scrutiny. The New Revised Standard Version renders the Greek, "they speak bombastic nonsense," but they cannot live up to their promises. One of the devices false teachers use is alluring followers through the lust of the flesh. The false teachers deceive and seduce men by promising them greater freedom in sexual matters, although the word flesh almost certainly encompasses more than just sexual misconduct. Some of you may be thinking, "But that was almost 2,000 years ago. We are more knowledgeable, more sophisticated, and more spiritual. We could not be seduced by teachers who allure by offering sexual pleasures." Did you know that one cult in America actually sends out young women to seduce men into sexual liaisons in order to bring them into that cult? They call it flirty fishing. But standard churches, whatever that means, would never do that, would they? Wesley Baker is a West Coast Presbyterian preacher. His 1967 book has the title, "The Open End of Christian Morals." Baker affirms, "There are no absolutes, no unbreakable ground rules, no qualifying principles." Page 59. Now please listen carefully. "Even the most hard and fast moralists of our day have surely come to see that the sex relationship has too many sacred potentialities to be locked up in any human institution." Page 127. "The teachers who allure through the lust of the flesh are not all dead yet." Peter uses the word wantonness in describing how low the teachers and their followers have sunk morally. Most versions render the Greek lasciviousness. The late Dr. William Barclay says the word means wanton insolence that is lost in shame. How sad that people are seduced by such teachers. Thank you, and may God bless you.